Now we're going to study Talmud Sefirot. Before that, a few words of encouragement from Yura. You shouldn't be afraid to study, because by that you can sanctify each and every organ and bring the redemption closer. Please open Talmud Sefirot, part 2. Again, Talmud Sefirot, part 2. Chapter 2. Item 4. Yes. Actually, I think this is open to me, item 4. But I'm not sure. I'll tell you in a minute. No, sorry, this is part 2, chapter 2, the words of the Ari, item 4. The light of Igulim is the light of Nefesh, and the light of Yosher is the light of Ruach. The Igulim were emanated first, and the Yosher next. Now the words of the Ari. The difference between the Igulim and the Yosher relates to the fact that the Esel Sefirot of Igulim are regarded as light of Nefesh, O Nefesh. They have O Pnimi and O Makif, Pnimi and Chitzon. They consist of Esel Sefirot of Kelim, each consisting of Pnimiyut and Chitzoniyut. There are also Esel Sefirot of Orot, where each O, each light, has consists of O Pnimi and O Makif. However, the Esel Sefirot of Yosher are regarded as the light of, called light of Ruach, which is a higher degree than the degree of Nefesh. They too consist of O Pnimi and O Makif, and have Esel Sefirot of Kelim, in each of which there are Pnimiyut and Chitzoniyut. Obviously, the Nefesh was emanated first, and the Ruach next. We'll repeat it. The light of Igulim is the light of Nefesh, and the light of Yosher is the light of Ruach. The Igulim were emanated first, and then the Yosher next. 4. The difference between the Igulim and the Yosher relates to the fact that the Esel Sefirot of Igulim are regarded as light of Nefesh. They have O Pnimi and O Makif, Pnimi and Chitzon. They consist of Esel Sefirot of Kelim, each consisting of Pnimiyut and Chitzoniyut. There are also Esel Sefirot of Orot, where each O consists of O Pnimi and O Makif. However, the Esel Sefirot of Yosher regarded as a light called Ruach, which is a higher degree than the degree of Nefesh. They too consist of O Pnimi and O Makif, and have Esel Sefirot of Kelim, in each of which there are Pnimiyut and Chitzoniyut. Obviously, the Nefesh was emanated first, and the Ruach next. Nothing new here, except reminding once more that Nefesh and Ruach are not about Orot from the Nahal Chai Orot, but Nefesh and Ruach relate to the way in which Ein Sof feels the Kli D'Igulim and Kli D'Yosher in Kelim D'Igulim, the fulfillment is according to the will of the Kli, without any work or objection or any kind of approach to the fulfillment, but just as their pleasures and desires for pleisure, as they fulfill each other, that's what happens. And Yosher means according, justly, according to the kitzvah, according to the measure of objection to itself, to the light. So there we have work with the kli. So the expression for an active participation of the kli in the fulfillment is called ruach, because it moves, it's alive. Item 20, Opnimi. It relates to the words Esos Sfirot Vigulim. Opnimi. Item 20. Or Nefesh is the name of the light of all the Sfirot that can receive light, but not pour it onto others. It has already been explained that all the light in Igulim must be received from the light of Kaf. The reason is that the Olyon cannot permeate the Kalim except by a Zivug with the Masach that raises Ochozel. That is because the Ochozel connects the light with the Kalim. Consequently, the light does not connect with Kalim that do not have that Masach, and they cannot pour it in onto others from above downward. Instead, they can only receive light from the former degree from below upward to provide for their own sustenance, but not to bestow. For that reason, the light in the Igulim is called Or Nefesh. For their own sustenance, but not to bestow. Yes, he's repeating it. For that reason, the light in the Igulim is called Or Nefesh. Try and imagine some picture of what Kalim de Igulim are after the Tzimtzum. Under it, cannot receive all Kav, want it very much but can't. The Tzimtzum came first. The desire in the upper previous degree is an obligating law in the resulting degree, in the lower degree. So Igulim want to receive but can't, and the Kav divides them, or pours them some light and fulfills them with a little bit of it. There are no double kalim, kalim of Kav and kalim of Igulim, but the Kav is a part of those Igulim that were created after Tzimtzum Aleph. The first Tzimtzum is empty kalim and received the Masach, and through the Masach have become kalim de Yosher that receive in order to bestow, or inside them, and from within them they also fulfill those parts of the kelim that cannot be under the fulfillment of the Kaf, meaning also have a Masach and Ochozel. So of course each and every kli that we had before the Tzimtzum is agol, is round. Now there's a small part of it that becomes kli de yosher, straight kli, and what remains of it is kelim de gulim. Or we can also picture it differently. Out of the entire kli de gulim in the previous state, in the previous degree, now we have kelim de yosher, that seemingly a part of them clothe the previous kelim de gulim in order to fulfill them. We can describe it in several ways. Oh, and why do they feel them? Why does light come to them? Why are they filled? What does it mean that they're filled? So there's some connection between them, some affinity. So the old that goes through Kelim D'Yosher goes to Kelim D'Gulim. So you're asking this, do the Kelim D'Yosher regard the Kelim D'Gulim? What does it mean that they fulfill them? Do they actually take desires from them and perform zivugim, matings on those desires and fulfill them? Does the old that goes into Kelim D'Gulim is the old of Yosher that is clothed in Ochozer? And thus they... it comes, the O. What is the direct influence from Kelim D'Yosher to Kelim D'Gulim? And the repeating influence between Kelim D'Gulim and Kelim D'Yosher. There are many questions here, so write them down and we'll work it out. Why do we use the same term, Kli, for both Yosher and Igulim? A Kli is a desire. It's true that after Tzimtzum Aleph, a mere desire stops being a Kli for the reception of the light. But it is still a desire that after the correction, the light will clothe it. And the entire orb that now has become the surrounding light, also with after Tzimtzum Aleph, that all is intended for those kelim and must eventually fulfill them as it did as before the Tzimtzum, when there was a round kli, kli agol, with a light in it, fulfilling them without any limitations or conditions, limitations on the part of the kelim. That's why it will be Igulim as well, and the same ord that Igulim had must now return. So we're talking about the same ord, but it's in the sensation of the Igulim after having been corrected. So the entire around Kli will be in Yosha, but in its essence it will be like the Kli Agol without any limitation. So it will have the same ord as before, but instead of Nefesh that it had before that thing, the sensation of perfection and eternity that it had, that it received from the Creator, so that was felt as all nefesh without any limitation, now it will be Naran Chai. Yes. In what does the Kav resist the Igul, and in what does it cooperate? We have to work it out slowly. Otherwise, there won't be any labor. Again, there are several options, ways to see the situation. Either Kav is just a tiny sector of the Igul. Yes, you have an Igul maybe a small sector of segment of the Igul is the Kav. Rav is trying to find a good word in Hebrew for sector. It says Hebrew is a problem. I see that no one has his accurate phrasing. So we can see that Kav is a part of the Igulim. And you can also see the work between them as one clothing the other. Yes, we had the previous state in Igulim. They restricted, they became empty. And the future forms clothe the former forms until they are fulfilled. And you can also put it this way. Yes. Right, so we're reading Op Nimi, item 30. It relates to the words of the Ari. The Yesel Sefirot of Yosher are regarded as the light called light of Ruach. Op Nimi, item 30. Yesel Sefirot of Ruach are regarded as bestowing. For that reason, the light of Ruach is denoted as Ol Zachar, male light, meaning it bestows. However, the Yesel Sefirot of Nefesh are called Or Nekeva, female light, meaning they receive and cannot bestow. For that reason, the Yesel Sefirot of the light of Kav are regarded as Yesel Sefirot of Ruach, indicating that they are regarded as Or Zachar, namely bestowing, as we've explained above. The Ruach is regarded as higher than the Nefesh because it bestows upon the Nefesh. Alright, let's read it. So, item 30, let's start from the words of the Ali. The Yesel Sefirot of Yosher are regarded as a light called light of Ruach. Opening me item 30. Yesel Sefirot of Ruach are regarded as bestowing. For that reason, the light of Ruach is denoted as Or Zachar, male light, meaning it bestows. However, the Yesel Sefirot of Nefesh are called Or Nekeva, female light, meaning they receive and cannot bestow. For that reason, the Yesel Sefirot of light of Kav are regarded as Yesel Sefirot of Ruach, indicating that they are regarded as O Zachar, namely bestowing, as we've explained above. The Ruach is regarded as higher than the Nefesh because it bestows upon it. Is the fulfillment of that the Yosher brings to the Igulim doesn't want to make them be like the Yosher? You can ask a thousand questions here. I know this topic, Igulim and Yosher. When we learn it, it's you just don't understand what to do with it. Asach of Yud or Chazal. Worst of stuff. But here, there's always confusion. We don't feel it. There's an encounter here between two kinds of reality, from the perspective of the Creator and from the perspective of the creatures. So there's confusion here in this dualism that we cannot reconcile. We are like, you know, we're split up. We don't know how to relate to it, and it's true. But I will not answer all these questions before we go through the whole thing. We have to go through it in those confusions and quests. Continuing to read, item 5, the words of the Ari, the smaller fonts above first. Ari Hanpin of Igulim shines for Abba Ve'ima of Igulim in the form of chalonot, windows, from the Gimel Kavim, three lines, right, left, and middle, in him, in Ari Halpin. The light nimshach extends from them to all the igulim, and therefore every detail that is in the yosher also exists in the igulim. You see, suddenly Baal HaSulam brings in Ari Halpin, Abba Veva, that you will learn in part two what they are. So he has his own idea of why he does it this way. He could go slowly and gradually see how he can do it. Sometimes, you see. So let's just take the form of the study as he presents it to us. Item 5, the words of the Ari. Even when the Esses Sefirot are regarded as igulim, one within the other, they already have all the forms of reception of the Shefa that exist in the Kav of the Yosho. It is so because Igul Keter, called Ari Halpin, after the Tikkun, has one Nekev. Nekev is a hole, and Chalon, a window, on the right hand side of the Igul. From there, the O of Arich comes to Igul Abba and shines to it. There is yet another Chalon window on the left hand side of the Igul of Arich. The light reaches the left hand side of Igul Abba, which is inside it, punctures it, and makes a Chalon in it. The light stretches from there to Igul Ima, inside Igul Abba, and shines in it. Thus, repeating it, the light stretches, Nimshach, from there to Igul Ima, inside Igul Abba, and shines in it. Thus, the light that passes again, thus, the light that passes in the left of Igul Abba is not for Abba himself. It only passes there. It only passes there. But the Hara is primarily for Ima. It turns out that Ari Halpin shines for Abba and Ima together, just like their Yosho, even though they are one igul within the other. They still have straight kavim, right, left, and middle, in their chalonot. The light expands from there in Esos Firot of Igulim through completely straight kavim lines in every detail in the Esos Sefirot of the straight Kav of Ruach. Yes, Opnimi. Switching to Opnimi, item 40, relating to the words, even when the Esos Sefirot are regarded as Igulim. Yes, go on, what's the matter with you? Opnimi, item 40. Meaning, when the 5 degrees, Kachabzon, do not extend in Yosher, meaning one below the other, from Zach to Av, but are equal, and there is not one that is below the other, namely with greater revute. Of course, there is a differentiation of cause and effect between them, because they do stem from one another. For example, Chochma came from Keter, Bina from Chochma, and Zeranpin from Bina, and Malchut from Zeranpin. However, that above differentiation of cause and effect is defined by there being one inside the other. In that state, each reason causes its consequence. Chochmah causes Bina, and Bina is caused by Chokhmah, etc. Thus, one within the other means that one is the result of the other. However, there is no differentiation of up or down between them whatsoever. So in the Gulim, each higher proceeds and each lower Nimshach is an effect, is a consequence. The Chitzon is higher, it comes first, and the Pnimi, the inner, is a result, the extension, the lower, is the same as lower in Yosha. Go on, item 50. So actually in Igulim, we see only cause and effect, first, second, third, fourth, stemming from each other, from one another. Item 50, relating to the words, they already have all the forms of the reception of the Shefa that exist in the cup of the Yosho. Open to me, item 50. Because that is the impression of the light from the Kli that it is clothed in. Even when it leaves her to go to another, it does not change its conduct from the previous Kli. While the light was in the Kav, in the Yoshu, it extended and descended, one below the other, meaning gained of youth in a gradual order because of the Masach that is found there. Therefore, even after it had left there and came to the Esos field of Igulim, which do not have a Masach, and after it was compelled to become round in them, it still did not change its conduct of its Pashtut, expansion, from degree to degree. For example, when the light of Kav comes to the Sphira of Ketel, it becomes round there, meaning adopts the shape of the Kli, in which case there is no distinction of above and below. However, when the light expands from Igul Ketel to Igul Chokhmah, it does not become round, but Nimshach in Yosho, extends in Yosho, distinguishing above and below. Consequently, the Sphira of the Igul of Chokhmah stands below the Igul of Ketel and consists of greater of Yud, because her form is not the same. In much the same way, when O moves from Chokhmah to Bina, it Nimshach in Yosho. It is therefore considered that Bina is below Chokhmah, meaning with more of Yud. And this is also the rule for all the Sfirot. The Esel Sfirot of Igulim are of equal form, without discrimination of above and below in the Kelim. However, there is still a discrimination of above and below in them, because they do receive the Shefa by means of the Yesus Firot of the Kav of Yosho. Yes. Item 60, anything to add? What are the forms of Yosho inside the Igulim, and how from the Igulim the O that was a God goes into Yosho? What does it mean? Well, how can we describe it? What does it mean that it was in Yosho, went into an Igul, received the form of an Igul? What does it mean, adopt the form of an Igul? He writes, therefore, after it had left there and came into the Esosfirot the Igulim that do not have a Masach, it becomes round in them coercively, in other words, according to the attribute of the Kli. How can it be? It came there as O Yashar, clothed in O Chozer, it's got 10 Sfirot, defined with the entire form of the Kli de Yosher, it comes to the Kli de Igulim, and suddenly becomes round in them, as if it didn't come from Yosher, or what? What is left in it from before, and what is added now? He says, however, it doesn't change its ways in its expansion from degree to degree. So it came from Keter to Chokhmah, from Chokhmah to Binah, etc. And receives the form of that Kli where there is no discrimination of above and below. So what's added in the O, the Yosher, that permeated the Igulim, what's added is the discrimination of the need of above and below. It's a good addition. Where above and below, that above and below do not exist, there is no upper and lower. You see how the light that goes from Kli to Kli, from Yosher to Yosher, between or among the degrees, and permeates the Igulim in between the degrees, how it is enriched in what insights, godly insights, that there's no up and down, everything is equal, there's only cause and consequence, regardless of the views. So it is simultaneously either in a dimension of Gmar Tikkun, yes, the end of correction, or Ein Sof, and that's in every single degree. Between any two Kelim de Yosher, there are these discriminations. Alright, questions, yes. Question number 34. Table of questions. Question number 34. Yeshal. When the Or Elyon descends to the Kelim that contain Ovyut Daled, namely a desire, for she extends it through her desire, it is considered that the O comes Yeshal, straight down. This means that the light that descends in Yosher is absolutely proportional with the Avyut and the desire. For example, when a heavy object falls to the ground, it falls in a completely Yashal line, straight line. Moreover, it falls at great speed because of the Earth's gravitating force that pulls it down. However, when something light falls where the gravitating force does not affect it, it floats about in midair until it slowly rests on the ground. Here too, in Kelim that do not have of you such as Kelim the Igulim, it is considered that the light permeates them by the power of the Yosher. It becomes round because there isn't any of you there, meaning a desire that would draw it. However, in Kelim the Yosher, where there is of you that draws the light with great power, the light comes down very fast with accurate straightness, like a straight line. We repeat question number 34. Yosho. When O Elyon descends to Kelim that contain of Yudaled, namely a desire, for she extends it through her desire, it is considered that the O comes Yeshah, straight down. This means that the light that descends in Yosho is absolutely proportional, in Yosho meaning straight down, absolutely proportional with the Yovut and the desire. For example, when a heavy object falls to the ground, it falls in a completely Yashal line. Moreover, it falls at great speed because of the Earth's gravitating force that pulls it down. However, when something light falls, and the gravitating force does not affect it, it floats about in midair until it slowly rests on the ground. Here too, in the kelim that do not have a vut, such as kelim deigulim, it is considered that the light permeates them by the power of the sefirot deyosha. It becomes round because there isn't any yovut there, meaning a desire that will draw it. However, in the kelim deyosha, where there is a yud that draws the light with great power, the light comes down very fast with accurate straightness like a straight line. What? Can we say that in Yosho there's a gap between the desire and the fulfillment, and in Nigulim there isn't? Try and look at it this way. We say that the light is in eternal rest. What changes are the kelim that discover it? How, from that, can you depict a picture or a part of the kelim? Awaken a root in Yosho, yes, straightness, according to Kitzbah, to the ration, to the intentions, to the desire to cleave to it, to equalize with it. And some of the kelim disclose the light or uncover the lights, the lights, not from within their own desire. Their desires are after Tzimtzum Aleph are disqualified for use for sensing the light, the O. But they do it inside them as a result of kelim diyosha coming before them that belong to them. And kelim diyosha disclosed the light through the yosho, meaning through a desire to resemble it. Now, as a result of that, kelim deigulim also can, with the same approach of yosho, reveal the light, but with their own attributes, where there are no discriminations. It is good to see it as kelim that find the O that is in them all the time, motionless. It gives a little more stability and a reference point that connects the Yosho and the Igulim. You can also look at it from other angles, but it's good to go back to it. Every time we want to answer a certain question, we have to still take a certain perspective, especially in the connection between Igulim and Yosho. You're between two conducts, the general conduct of the creator, where there's no good and bad, there's nothing that belongs to the creature, and conduct that depends on the creature, how the creature discovers itself in adhesion according to its own level of work, how the creator's conduct works on him. And those two nullify each other. How can that be? Yes. on the one hand he's benevolent, on the other hand all the troubles come from him, and so on. So it is sometimes easier to describe it as I just did, that the O is in complete rest. The Kelim find it in both Yosher and Igulim, but it is by an order of cause and effect. One is resulted by the other, but each Kli finds as a reason because of the previous Kli, but with its own attributes. Yes. We are continuing with Opnimi, item 60, it relates to the words of the Ari, called Arich Anpin after the Tikkun, the correction. Opnimi. After the four Olamot Abiya were formed, each Spira became a complete Partsuf with Rosh Toch Sof. Because of that, they were given different names. The Partsuf that originated from Ketel was named Arich Anpin. The Partsuf that originated from Chokhmah was named Abba. And the Partsuf that originated from Bina was named Ima. The Partsuf that was made from the six Sfirot Chagat Nehi was named Zahanpin, and the Potsuf that originated from Malchut was named Nukva. The explanation of these names will be explained in its place. We are continuing with item 70 in the opening me. It relates to the words has one Nekev and Chalon. Alright, just one Nekev. Item 70 below. You already know that by the reason of the 10 Sfirot of the Kav that is received in the Igulim, again, opening me, I'm sorry. Item 70. You already know that because of the light of the Esel Sfirot of the Kav that is received in the Igulim, all the Bchinot of Yosher are necessarily imprinted in the Igulim as well. This Bchina in the Kav, which is called Masach, whose Or Chozer connects the Or Elyon in the Kelim, is imprinted in the Igulim as well, but without its Ovyut. This is because this Ovyut cannot rise from a lower degree to a higher one whatsoever, because the fact that the upper does not have the same Ovyut, because the upper does not have the same Ovyut as the lower, and that is what makes it upper. Only the gap that the Masach creates in the lower degree, in the Esel Sfirot of Yosher, rises from the Masach of the Kav de Yosher and is imprinted in the Igulim. This gap from the Masach is called Chalon, window, like a window in a room. So this Masach reveals the ability, like a window in a room, so this Masach reveals the ability of the Or Chozer to connect the light with the Neitzal. Thus, if the Masach disappeared, the light would also disappear from the Neitzal, and he would remain in the dark, as if the window had been shut. Thus, when we refer only to the gap that the Masach created, excluding its Ovyut, we refer to it as a Chalon or Nekev. Definitions of Chalon or Nekev. item, right, we have a good definition of chalon. They didn't say which question it is, so I don't know. I'll wait until they read it again. Or chozer that is rejected from chinat daret because of its aviyut becomes the kli kabbalah, the kli of reception for the olyan. In the place where she became a kli for reception from Ein Sof. This is because the Or Chozer really consists of a viut, the Bchinat Dalet, because she extended it with her from Ein Sof Baruch Hu. However, this viut is not apparent, but only in Kelim Beguf, because they expand below the Masach, meaning below Bchinat Dalet of Eser Sfirot Derosh. Therefore, a viut of Bchinat Dalet in the Masach controls them. Therefore, they are regarded as complete kelim, complete kelim for the clothing of the Or Elyon in them. However, in Eser Sfirot Derosh, which are above their Bchinat Dalet, but the O Chozer in them rises to them from above downward, and the view of the Bchinat Dalet in the Masach cannot ascend and mingle with the Or Chozer to its place, to the Eser Sfirot. Therefore, this Or Chozer does not become complete Kelim, but it becomes Shorish for the Kli only. Therefore, the Or Chozer, this Or Chozer is called only Hitkashrut. Having said that, this Or Chozer is considered as a power of Yud with regards to the nine Sfirot of the Rosh. This is, by the way, question number 30. We are at the third paragraph from the end of the question. This force is called, the second paragraph from the bottom of the question, this force is called Chalon because when the Or Chozer and Or Yashar enter in order to illuminate the pure Kelim Deigulim, which do not have even a trace of a Yud, the force of Avyut in the Or Chozer is much lower than them. For that reason, it lowers and lessens the walls of the Kelim Deigulim as it permeates them. It is like a hole in a room. Although it is a hole in the wall of the room, it is also an entrance to the light of the sun. By the same token, the hole in the wall of the Kelim Deigulim, which happened because of the Avyut in the Or Chozer, is not at all considered as a demerit, but as a window. Without it, they would not receive any light, for they can only do it through the Kav and the force of the Masach in it. This is the Masach in each igul has more of you than the igul it is in, or does it put in of you that didn't exist before, because the igulim too have of you. How do the igulim feel their of you? Do they want to turn it into a stole? How do they recognize it? They want to compare it to the previous Prina or to the one after. So if there's no yearning in Kelim V'Igulim, how is there a need for fulfillment? There is a desire, but it's not, after Tzimtzum Aleph, it is not regarded as active as the one that uncovers the oil. So there is a desire, but Igulim is Ratzon and Tzimtzum, and the discriminations in the oh are good. There is no above and below, only cause and effect. There is creator and creature, yes, but nothing else. No approach. I am for him and he is for me. So when Okav comes and brings the reason and the Ovyut, the sensation of additional Ovyut and the fulfillment according to the Kav on the one hand, on the other hand according to the attribute of the Igul, each Igul has its own attributes. It turns out that Kavim and Igulim together become one system. All cannot go from Sphira to Sphira if not through the Igulim. It cannot fulfill the Igulim if not through the Yosha. So it is a system. We don't use the Igulim, but we have to remember that our entire work in even anything, the smallest thing you do in Yosha fills the Igulim of Ensof. That's why it says that there's no absence of spirituality, all the degrees remain forever, and so on. Oh well, yes. Which all do the Igulim receive through this Chalon? What is left in them that goes through the Kav? They get a Heara, illumination or luminescence. Through the Nekev, through the hole, the Igul gets get the slightest opening. In the Igulim receive it as all Nefesh. Should we start studying something else, or should we remain that? We have to switch. The Rav Nefesh that the Igulim received through the Kav, is that different to the Igulim that received before? Now this Erat Nefesh comes with all the attributes of the Kav. Now the Igulim start feeling the difference, how they have no above and below and greater or small, but only cause and consequence, and what the Kav now puts into them. These desires that appear in the Igulim, the differences between what they are and the fulfillment for the Kitzbah afterwards appear in the Kavazol, because the light goes to the Igulim, it clothes the Igul, becomes round in them, and from this it goes back to the Kav, to Yosha once more. So it receives some taste of eternity and endlessness, and once more goes out to the Kav.